This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What we got going on today?
I was hoping you could give us insight, and I know this is your world, into the social media beef between Malik Nabers and Trayvon Diggs. What's going on? Do you have any idea why this feud has started and what we can do to help?
I hate to kind of punch a needle in the balloon, but I had no idea what was going on.
Have you ever gotten in a social media beef with somebody, or do you just, like, if somebody is rude, you just ignore them?
Or I delete them.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Off the planet, or just...
Off whatever Twitter or X is, right?
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, that's different.
Now, we were just talking with one of the Giants beat reporters, Dan Duggan, and... I thought that it looked like maybe the Giants were about to make some defensive changes because they blitzed way more against Cleveland than they had the rest of the year. He seemed to think that that was just a product of what Cleveland allowed as opposed to a like schematic change. Do you anticipate like a lot of pressure or a lot of blitzing from the Giants tomorrow?
Well, if we're going to compare, how many sacks did the Cowboys have against the Browns?
Probably, I'm guessing a lot. Six?
A half dozen.
Okay.
Six and eight. So, and I don't think the Cowboys changed their scheme any, right?
Yeah.
They just had poor protection. If I remember correctly, at that time, both of their offensive tackles, starters were out. They were playing backups. The Cowboys actually, for the first half, stopped their running game, if you can believe that. So they were unleashing their pass rush. And, you know, and that's one of the keys or one of the Cowboys' attributes is their ability to rush the quarterback. But if you don't stop the run, then you're not going to have, like, third and longs, right?
Yeah.
The Cowboys, in these last two games on first downs, they've averaged giving up 7.5 yards per play. So what happens on second and third down, right?
Sure, yeah.
Well, the teams don't have to gain a whole lot of yards because they've already done three quarters of the first down on first down. So from a Cowboys standpoint, they need to do a better job stopping the run and playing – first down better than they have.
Yeah, that's what they got to do to stop that.
Fair.
On the other side, though, what was CeeDee Lamb's feeling based on his emotions on the game? What was he feeling yesterday?
Yeah, I think he had calmed down. I think he had looked at it realistically. I think he was somewhat apologetic of his actions, how he acted, things he said, and knows that he's got to play better also on top of that. You know, we can go through all the words and everything, but, you know, don't fumble the ball. You know, don't drop a pass or two. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. I thought one of his best attributes of being a 88 that – he wasn't a prima donna. You know, it was kind of a normal room for the wide receivers that's not normal in the NFL. Those guys are always causing a scene, it seems like. And that was the kind of NFL wide receiver room the Cowboys had until he had this little fit in the game on Sunday. So I think he looked at it realistically and realized, well, whatever I was doing was not beneficial to not only myself, but the rest of the team.
I know, obviously, as you said, they played a not-so-great team last week in Cleveland, but Dexter Lawrence is an objectively excellent player. What kind of challenges does he bring to the table against the Cowboys?
I don't know, but somebody better go put an arm around Cooper Beebe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I mean, kid, get ready.
What a hell of a challenge for your fourth game.
As a center. Not just fourth game in the NFL.
True.
But fourth game as a center, and you're going to have this 6'4", 340-pound guy standing right over you. You know, they had, I was reading, they had kind of initially started him off kind of playing a three technique. Well, if you're playing a three technique, you leave yourself more susceptible to being double teamed, right? Well, they kind of moved him over. So even if they play, you know, however they play their defense, three or four guys up front, they're moving him right over the center. And then said, okay. And I guess there was a scene last week where the Browns were still in the huddle, and he stood over the football. His hulking presence, like, okay, I'm ready for you. When you guys want to come and play? And he says, oh, there was nothing to it. But I think there was something to it. He was trying to intimidate people. I mean, he leads them with three sacks, got 17 pressures, 12 quarterback hurries. So he's been pretty darn good. And the Cowboys are going to have to figure out how they're going to be able to handle him. And it can't be with BB and a fullback or a running back chipping him or, you know, double teaming him. It's going to have to be two offensive linemen, which is going to create another problem on that front. So the Cowboys offensive line is going to have its hands full, and not just pass protection, but run blocking. And that's been one of their weaknesses, I think, so far over these first three games. It's been the run blocking. I know the running backs get all the blame, but I bet there's a high percentage of hits at the line of scrimmage on these running backs with the Cowboys struggling to be able to produce an effective running game.
Mickey, you were already starting a rookie opposite of Trayvon Diggs and Kalen Carson. What's the likelihood that he and maybe even Marquise Bell might not be available for this game?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying it's a game-time decision. Mm. I don't think either one has done much, if anything, these past two games in the walkthrough practices they've even had. Carson with a shoulder, Bell with an ankle. And that's pretty problematic because the next cornerback up would be Andrew Booth, and he's been inactive all three games. I think that if it's me, Trayvon Diggs is going to have to shadow Malik Nabers. I don't think you're going to leave, Booth out there if it's Booth or even Caleb Carson, right? In too many one-on-one situations. And if you do, then you got to shadow with a safety and give those guys help because he's awfully, awfully darn good. I think I saw a note in the Giants release that his 23 catches over three games is the second most in the NFL to start a career. And the Cowboys know how good he is. I think Trayvon Diggs, get to work.
I don't know if you follow this kind of stuff, but if you do you enjoy when Bill Belichick talks about the Cowboys? Because then everyone can automatically assume that he's going to coach them next.
it's funny, right? Because how many other teams are in the league and how many other teams are ready to fire a head coach, right? But it's always he's going to the Cowboys, right?
That's right. And Mike McCarthy's at the top of the firing betting odds now. Right, I know that.
I saw that yesterday. Yeah. So it's great fodder, right?
Yes.
Helps you guys out too.
That's
believe
true.
Believe it or not, right?
That's true.
That's a segment or two, right?
It's not what I want to talk about, but if I have to, I'm
look, man, we get questions about it. I also
I don't
want to talk about
it. And they want answers from you, too,
yes,
by the way.
They do. All right. Speaking of answers, I know tomorrow's Thursday, but remember, Mick, be prepared with a prediction that is sure to be correct.
Well, since I'm like 1-2 right now, right there with the Cowboys, I don't know how much faith you'll have in me on getting that right.
It's a long season, Mick. Well, we got plenty of time to
don't
be right
panic.
And wrong.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is get one right, and then you're 2-2, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
See, you get exactly how this game plan is going to work. All right. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, great talking with you. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, this is just a side question that I was curious about, and we were going to talk about it Monday, Tuesday, but just things came up. Since they get compared a lot in terms of, like, people hating on them and stuff, who do you think is under more pressure to win the Super Bowl? Is it Dak or Lamar? Like, we just saw both of them, both of their teams are 1-2. Both have, well, Dak was second for MVP last year. Lamar was first.
Are you kidding me? I didn't know Dak was second for MVP last
year.
You
did
too.
Nobody
said that.
Know that. You hear that all the freaking time.
All right.
So I'm curious who you think has more pressure on them to win the Super Bowl, because those are the two quarterbacks. And at times I feel like Josh Allen might kind of get in the mix, but those are the two quarterbacks that I think get like the most, like, social media hate or like media questions about, hey, can they really do it?
This is very interesting, because I think the pressure's uniquely different for both of them.
Fair.
There is no brighter spotlight than being the Cowboys quarterback.
Agreed.
And the Cowboys fans right now are as frustrated as ever. In Baltimore, I think they love Lamar, and they're like, this dude is he's an MVP. We got that to hang our hats on.
How weird is that, just to start? Because I might be
wrong about that.
I don't think you are wrong, is that they love Lamar, but here everyone's like, yeah, but well, you're not Aikman or Staubach or whatever.
Exactly. And you know why? Because the quarterbacks that have won in Baltimore weren't great quarterbacks.
Okay.
It was the defenses that carried those Baltimore teams to Super Bowls. But here, it's always been the star is the quarterback. He's the one that gets that limelight. I mean, Trent Dilfer won and Joe Flacco. Like, they didn't even love Joe Flacco, all right?
True.
They were just like, I guess we got to deal with him. He's from Delaware. So that's where I think the spotlights are very different for these guys. So I think if you're saying internal pressure, I think it's the same for both of them, because, and maybe even higher for Lamar because he does have the MVPs, but that's an individual statistic that doesn't get him the over-the-top thing. Dak is still in that got-to-prove-it tier. You got to prove other things. You haven't been MVP. You have the biggest contract, but have you really earned the biggest contract?
Right.
So that's where living up to the contract is now where Dak is. I hope he gets past that moment. I was thinking about this with Klay Thompson, and we'll at some point talk about basketball. But Klay Thompson, how often do you see a guy go to a new team and then he's pressing to make shots? And a guy who's a really good three-point shooter, but he's pressing so much that he feels like he's trying to live up to something, and then all the eyes are on him. Oh, Luka just passed me this ball, and I hope Klay doesn't have that.
Yeah.
But Dak, I wonder if there's a part of him that's like, man, I have to make these plays. We saw it with Marcus Simeon his first season. He wasn't living up to that contract initially, and we're like, what's going on here? I wonder if Dak's feeling a little bit of that right now, or if it's just they're just in a funk as a team.
So we get this text, and look, I am a huge Lamar Jackson fan, but we get this text from the 469. Lamar has won in the playoffs largely because of Lamar. Dak has not done that. All right, if you look at their playoff records, though, Dak is 2-5. Lamar Jackson is 2-4. I know Lamar Jackson got to the AFC Championship game, so it also matters when do those wins come along. Like, you look at Joe Flacco, everything else doesn't matter. He got the 4 wins when he needed it. But they have both struggled in the playoffs, and you can make a really strong argument. Last year, it was there for the taking for Baltimore, and they didn't get it done. So I know Lamar Jackson has been to the AFC Championship game. He went last year, but just that. Otherwise, like, their playoff records are pretty similar, but I do think that's also the perception, is people like, Dak can't win in the playoffs. Lamar needs, you know, he'll get it done someday, even though they've kind of hit the same roadblocks, which I also think is strange.
And I mean, and even still, Baltimore's identity does kind of fall on the defense, just because the culture of what it is their defense. They're going to be tough-nosed defense. the culture here is the star is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, if he's not doing it, then that's where the argument goes to first.
For the 469, I think Dak has more pressure because he doesn't have to go through Mahomes to get there like Lamar does.
And interesting.
That's a fair point, and that might be, I don't know how people feel. I don't know if people immediately dismiss playoff losses to, like, going back to Tom Brady or Joe Montana or now Patrick Mahomes. I have no idea. Because you might be like, yeah, well, they were the favorites and they were at home and they lost. Or people are like, yeah, but they played Mahomes. Like, I don't know if people discount that. And then this is from the 214. I'm always curious about this as well. Lamar is a two-time MVP. I could see that being spun either way in terms of, well, that obviously means he's better. But doesn't that also put more pressure on you as Dak finished second for MVP and he hasn't won a Super Bowl? Lamar has two MVPs and he hasn't won a Super Bowl. I would feel like that would put more pressure on Lamar to be like, hey, man, we gave you MVPs. Like, where's the Super Bowl?
I get it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Or did they try to buy a documentary that was coming out today that was going to be negative about
them? I did not try to buy that.
Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
They have all their timeouts. Hand off. And the ball comes out. The ball's out. BYU scoops. BYU scores.
Now, I understand you might be curious. Why are we playing a BYU football highlight? I guarantee you, the payoff will intrigue you.
All right.
I can't say you like it, but it will intrigue you as we move in to My Buddy's an Idiot, 877-881-1053. Your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or did they make one of the dumbest bets I've ever heard of?
Oh, I like this.
I take you to a diehard Kansas State football fan. On X, he is known as St. Bill Snyder.
Hey, he used to coach Kansas State.
I'm pretty sure this is a different person, but to be fair, when they posted this last tweet that I'll update you with, they do have a Taco Bell bag over their head.
How do you know it's not Street Bill Snyder?
Because it says, it's spelled out.
Okay, all right.
Fair. That's right. A fair question. Thank it's spelled you. Out. Now, I really hesitate to say this. And I really hope that you guys are all professional and don't mark this. But this fella declared before that Kansas State-BYU game, if Kansas State loses to BYU, I will shove a beefy five-layer burrito up my...
nose? Please say nose.
But
it's not going to... it's not going to work. It won't work.
Well,
it's impossible.
You have the opportunity to find out.
No, I don't.
Okay, you do. No. You don't have to take the opportunity. I'm saying you have the opportunity. This Saturday, he just, what an intriguing post this is. Now, in the first post, he had the Taco Bell bag over his face and the burrito. This time, it's just the burrito. And it says Saturday, September 28th. That's this Saturday.
That is this Saturday.
I pay the bet. 9:30 p.m. It just means more. Hashtag Big 12 football.
Okay, hold on. It just means more. I love that line. Alec just mentioned moments ago.
Oh, then they pop up with the Taco Bell bag on their head.
Alec mentioned moments ago that the best publicity that Netflix could have possibly asked for was Vince McMahon saying that, hey, don't watch this,
oh my
this
God,
Netflix
yes.
or watch it with an open mind because I'm a villain. You hate this villain.
Yes.
Watch it to... This dude is like, he's trying to get publicity for his YouTube page or whatever, right? Like, that's all this is.
Look.
He's not really going to do this. Nobody's watching this.
Oh, my God. You're insane.
Oh, you know what? Somebody just said, freeze the burrito, and it works. I guess that's true.
Holy moly.
Ouch.
By the way, this person does love Kansas State football. On their Twitter profile, it says the Miracle in Manhattan and Pop-Tart Bowl champions of the world. So they are It also, there's a lot happening on this main page. It also says hashtag Christ is Lord and hashtag John 3:16. I'm not saying you can't believe that and do that with the burrito. It's just a weird combination.
Do you have to oil up that burrito first?
Yeah. That's what The Rock taught me.
I'm sorry, what?
He goes, you turn that sumbitch sideways, oil it up, and then you stick it straight up your candy ass. That is what The Rock taught me. And so I don't know if he's going to follow that exact line of thinking. But Corey, when you said no one's going to watch this, 15,000 people like the original bet text or tweet, and now 12,000 people have
commented,
liked the bet payoff tease.
Oh my god.
And 900 people have it bookmarked. So
oh
they can remember
gosh.
To go Sickles. Back and see it happen. Now,
dude, he should sell tickets for this thing on his page. Just be like, hey,
cash app.
I have this many available tickets. Otherwise you won't be able to watch it. You have to register.
To
vote. Otherwise you can't vote if you're not registered.
Yeah. I have a question about, wasn't one of the faces of the Vote or Die campaign that person who looks like they're probably going to go to jail for the rest of their life? I feel like
Vote or Die campaign.
I feel like it was. So hopefully.
Oh crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Diddy is in jail.
I thought that
Diddy's in a lot of trouble.
No, I knew that part.
Kevin's saying because of what Diddy's going through, don't vote.
No, you should definitely vote.
Huh. Okay. And you could end up in prison.
No, that's not why he's in prison right now. The allegations
if you vote wrong,
are very, very different than that.
If you vote wrong, you could go to prison, is what you're saying.
No, well, look, I'm not going to pretend that no politician has ever said that. I do not believe that. Now, you were talking about... Come on, Kevin, you are doing the most. This is Masterpiece of the Week. I'm just telling you the story. All right. Now, we talked about the Vince McMahon documentary, and you just referenced how I put a statement out as like, this is not good. I don't approve.
And now everybody's going to watch it.
Hell yeah.
Because of that.
Here's why I'm going to watch it even more. Is, I believe it was Matthew Bologna from, maybe it's Bologna.
It's Bolognese. Matthew Bologna.
I'm sure it is a Bologna.
He's full of
thanks for the dinner idea.
It's Belloni. I don't know why I said it like that. It's probably Bologna. I'm sorry.
That's not how you spell Bologna, Kevin.
I know.
Bologna.
Yes.
Bologna.
He has a What I'm Hearing column, and he said that after initially signing off on the project, Vince McMahon went back to Netflix and tried to purchase the project back.
What?
After he agreed to do it.
This is great.
I am dying to watch this documentary. It dropped this morning. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I'm going to watch at least some of it after work, but that is amazing. So don't watch it. It's bad. Also, I probably tried to buy it back from Netflix.
Yeah, and somebody's asked if I think everything's a joke. Yeah, I do. Everything is funny to me. So
okay.
Sorry.
I'll not be funny. Actually, my next
Corey,
one is,
you be quiet.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
This next one actually is not a funny situation.
All right.
Have you seen the latest about, you remember Dan Campbell, the news came out that he was gonna move
yes.
because of fans and everything. So now then it came out that Dan Campbell was allegedly doxxed by his daughter's classmate after the NFC Championship game last year.
Mm, yes, I did see this.
That's crazy. And it's kind of started in Snapchat with the accompanying text of dumb F trying to go for it and then put his address on there. You got to the NFC Championship game for the first time in, what was it, 32 years? And your response to that is, well, first of all, your response to anything shouldn't be, I'm going to dox that person.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that means
I just looked it up.
Yeah. Revealing somebody's address and then people will argue about what is supposed to happen after that. But
the word doesn't make sense to me, honestly. Like, where does it come from?
Probably should have an answer for you. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all good. You did a really good job of explaining it, though. And I appreciate that. Yeah, man. I don't appreciate that. I don't think it's cool at all to do something like that. Especially like you said, your coach just got you as far as you've been in a long time.
Yeah.
You look like you're having a promising future with not only the coach who's instilled toughness and legitimacy to your franchise for the first time in a long time, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and put them on blast. Not cool.
It's a weird bit. From the 214, my buddy's an idiot. He keeps stating that Anthony Richardson is going to turn it around. I'm willing to give him more leeway than like Bryce Young, just because he's looked better at times and injuries have kept him from playing as many games. I'm not saying he's going to turn it around, but I think he's got a better shot than Bryce Young, right?
I don't know. Maybe Bryce Young can turn it around though, too. You know,
what team will he be on then?
I mean, did you not see him high five and all of his teammates after their win? He stood there and waited for them all to come out because he was like, look, I'm not good enough yet, but maybe one day I will be, Kevin.
I mean,
that's what Bryce Young was saying.
It could happen. From the YouTube, my buddy's an idiot. He calls the Cowboys America's team.
I mean, that's their moniker.
And if you look at popularity by pretty much every metric, they are America's team. Now, that's what
doesn't mean America loves them.
No. Oh my gosh. No. There's as many people, probably not as many people, but a lot of people who watch them to hate watch them. And that has nothing to do with them winning. Like, that's just about popularity and visibility. If it was about winning,
yeah,
then it would have gone to the Patriots and now the Chiefs. And like, yeah, that would have been.
And that was also dubbed in the 70s, the 60s.
I think it was the 70s.
It was when that was all created. So it's just been something that's stuck with them since then. I mean, just like the Steel Curtain is stuck with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Although that being said, they have continued it for that entire time.
Now, is this what you want to hear from your coach? Or is Hugh Freeze an idiot? They lost to Arkansas. And he went ahead and made the statement afterwards. Now, this is always a good start. Quote, I mean no offense to Arkansas. I'm going to go back to this again. If you start a sentence with I mean no offense to whoever.
Usually it's going to be offensive to somebody.
And you should probably just stop.
Yeah.
You should probably just be like, you know what? Never mind. I mean no offense to Arkansas. I love Sam Pittman. I hope he wins the rest of the games. But the hard truth is, if we played them 9 more times, we would beat them 9 more times. Do you want to hear that from your coach, or do you want your coach to shut the hell up?
Hold on, they already lost?
Yeah, they lost at home.
So that's the, no, I don't want to hear it. If we've won, I want to hear it.
Sure.
Or if we're going into the game and we're looking to win, then I want my coach to be like, look, guys, we're going to beat them every time. I'm confident in it. Here's why. I don't want to hear, hey, look, we just ran out of time, and if we had more games against these guys, we could have done it. That doesn't make me feel good at all. I'd say, shut up, coach. I wouldn't say it to him because, like, you know, I'd probably leave him a note and be like, hey, coach, don't say that anymore.
Sure.
Come on, man.
You're putting
a mark on us.
From the 214, guys, my buddy's an idiot. We're at work, and he's literally blasting Diddy songs in the office next to me. Like, why? That is odd timing. Like, if that's been happening for, I don't know,
ages,
like 8 years,
yeah,
and you're just like, oh, he's a fan. If you just started now, that's an odd time to, like, take up that campaign, right?
Mm-hmm. From the 469, I don't want to be offensive to your show, but I will say that it's pretty great.
Oh.
So that was not offensive at all.
That's a good point.
We've continued to win, and I appreciate that. Thank you, because of you. You're the reason why.
That's true. From the 432, my buddy, being me, is an idiot for drafting the Cowboys defense thinking I'd get 20-plus points a week with them. Look, the last couple weeks have been, they've been tough.
I thought the same thing. I thought this was going to be a very good defense, and so far they have not acclimated to what Mike Zimmer's asking of them.
Yeah.
They're not very advanced in what they're doing, and they can't find ways to be more physical than their opponent. Maybe it's because they're not playing fast. Maybe that it's too complicated, too complex. Zimmer has to dumb it down just a little bit so they can play fast, but they don't look like a very physical team that's capable of blowing through the offensive lines.
All right. We did get some clarification, too, about the origination of docs. Now, it's from dropping documents or docs,
okay.
D-O-C, And then obviously it's changed. We'll get into that later along the way. But yeah, that's originally what it came from.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Is because of documents, as in DOC, the shortening for that. Very interesting.
The DOC.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Let's power rank the quarterback power rankings. Next on The Fan.
Sprints in motion to the right flat. Mahomes will throw it right sideline, wide open with the catch. Xavier Worthy, 10-5, touchdown, Kansas City.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just a reminder for anyone who's concerned about the game tomorrow being on Prime, you can always listen to it right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
I know I shouldn't care about this, but I do. Brandon Aubrey has yet again been snubbed as the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
How?
He kicked a ho-hum 51-yard field goal.
Yep.
Then he kicked a 65-yard field goal, which is the second longest in the history of the NFL in a regular season game.
Think he could have kicked 67 if he needed to?
Hell yeah, he could have.
That kick specifically, I think 67 would have been the max.
Okay.
I think that would have been it.
Instead, Jack Fox, the punter, won the award. He punted the ball 5 times, had 4 of them downed inside the 20, 3 inside the 10, and 1 inside the 5. That is objectively very impressive. But here's what I'm going to bring up to you. I know it's only been 3 weeks, and I know poor clock management messed up one of them. But that means Brandon Aubrey should have tied the all-time field goal record for longest field goal and had third place behind himself and the other person he is tied with. I believe it's Justin Tucker. And he has won 0 Special Teams Player of the Week awards. I know it's probably not that big of a deal, and I should just get over it, but that's weird to me.
Kevin, I would much rather Dak win all the Offensive Player of the Week awards.
Okay.
Than be concerned about Brandon Aubrey winning Special Teams Player.
You are not going to like the next thing I was going to bring up then.
Dak is winning this week?
Dak did not win NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Jaden Daniels did for the Washington Commanders after he went 21 of 23, which is incredible.
Yeah.
For 254 yards, a pair of touchdowns, no interceptions. He also ran for 39 yards and a touchdown in their upset road victory over the Bengals.
You know, at the time, he was 20 of 22 whenever he threw the big touchdown to McLaurin. And
what a throw.
I was thinking to myself, because I think that was that third down? I was thinking to myself in that moment, dude, he's going to complete this pass. He's been this good all night. He's going to complete this pass. I didn't expect it to be that pass, though. I thought it would be a slant across the middle. I thought it would be something that would pick up a first down. I did not expect it to be that. Dude, he was fun in that game. Let's see if he can continue doing it consistently now.
The 91.3 completion percentage rate, of course, the highest in an NFL game by a rookie ever. But where does he sit in the quarterback rankings? Let's start with the worst starting quarterback. This one is unfair. I do not believe you will guess number 32. But if you want to give it a shot, knock yourself out. I think that this is unfair and not probable to be guessed correct.
Thinking.
Okay.
Alec, do you have an answer?
You might need to help him.
Sean Clifford.
Nice. Good job.
No.
Nailed it.
You did not. Yeah! No. Incorrect.
Dang it.
Number 32 is Tim Boyle.
Okay.
You might be thinking, who the hell is Tim Boyle?
Susan's brother.
He was the quarterback for the Chiefs for a little spell, and I think he played at Alabama.
I don't know about any of that. Tim Boyle, maybe he did. Tim Boyle is who CBS thinks is going to start in place of Skylar Thompson, who is already starting in place of Tua. Because Skyler is banged up.
Kevin, he never played for the Chiefs.
Okay.
He also played at UConn and Eastern
Kentucky.
That's
what I said. I have no idea if that is factually accurate. Tyler Huntley is the other option. That feels unfair.
All right.
After that, Jacoby Brissett, Bo Nix, and I think this is also unfair. Malik Willis is 29th. Malik Willis got called in and has won both of his games. That is too low.
He's really good, though.
I'm not saying he should be like a lot higher than that.
And he didn't throw the throw-up ball.
Shouldn't he be higher than Will Levis? Will Levis is 25. Will Levis the F out of here.
He's awful at football.
All right. Who is, right now, the number one quarterback in the NFL?
Josh Allen.
That is correct. Alec, a lot of pressure on you to get number two correct, since it's common sense. Yeah. And Corey got number one.
Who's your number two?
This is really tough. Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, let me ask you a question.
Is he better than Trevor Lawrence currently?
Yes. Yes, definitely. For Peace-a-thon, do you think it would be confusing if we had an autographed jersey by, like, actual Patrick Mahomes, and then we had another Mahomes Chiefs jersey signed by Patrick Mahomes Sr. that says, "Who's your daddy?" on it? Would that be confusing in the marketplace? Because yes. I am going to have both of those items.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll work on something different then.
By the way, Kevin, somebody texted it in. It was Crody Broyle. Crody Boyle.
Brody Coyle?
Crody Broyle. Yeah, something like that. Brody Coyle? Brody Coyle. Brody Coyle.
Right.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
They got Bama there eventually.
Yeah, good job. All right. The rest of the top five. Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy, and CJ Stroud. So those are your top five quarterbacks per CBS.
Where'd you say Sam Darnold was?
I have not gotten to Sam Darnold
yet. This is ridiculous. Here I am pulling for Sam Darnold. That's what's ridiculous about
Sam
it.
Darnold.
Give the man his respect.
Is number 10. Is Dak Prescott higher or lower than Sam Darnold? Per lower. CBS, not me.
Lower, because Andy Dalton should be number 9 at least.
Oh, man. Andy Dalton is number 21.
Did you not see? He got win for the Panthers.
I know. All right. Geno Smith is 11.
All right.
Should Dak Prescott be higher or lower? Than
lower.
Geno? Okay. How much lower?
2. 13.
Aaron Rodgers is number 12. Dak Prescott is, in fact, number 13 on the board.
This doesn't get me going.
Okay. Mike, I actually don't believe you about that. So the top five, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, Purdy, Stroud. 6 through 10, Joe Burrow, Stafford, Herbert, Hurts, that's absurd, Sam Darnold, and then Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers, and Dak Prescott is 13 on this list. Do you think that is fair?
I do.
Okay.
The offense has not been productive.
True.
The best part of his last two games was the last play, or the last couple of drives in the fourth quarter. That was it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's been pretty bad. So, I mean, again, there are, for anybody that's out there going, you can't blame it all on Dak. I agree. There's a lot of factors that go into how poorly they're playing right now. But as a quarterback, his ranking does not put him any higher than where he is right now.
Now, a couple of notes for you from this past weekend, or I guess looking forward. For the Green Bay Packers, they already have 7 interceptions this season. That's how many they had last season. So that is a pretty freaking encouraging number for the Green Bay Packers. The Steelers, you talked about the steel curtain earlier. They became the first team in 15 years to give up 10 or fewer points in each of their first 3 games.
Okay.
And they're going to need it. Yeah, look, I like Justin Fields, but that offense is not going to make that team go.
I agree they're going to need it. I also agree that the more opportunities and reps Fields gets with this team and the more comfortable he feels, the better he's going to look. If that defense continues to do that, they'll find ways to win games, because that's what Mike Tomlin does. And that Packers defense, we all should have been aware that they were going to be pretty good this year. The way that they're playing, the effort they're giving, they've lined that one up really nice.
Now, we've talked a lot about Caleb Williams and then Rome Odunze. They made history this past weekend. They became the first quarterback and wide receiver, both selected in the top 10 by the same team, to complete a touchdown pass in their rookie year.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is nifty. I like it.
Who gets the ball?
I mean, they have to cut the ball in half.
Oh, no.
Or they have to play tug of war for
it. What if they're about to cut the ball in half and Caleb says, please, don't do that. I'd rather the ball go to Rome and stay intact.
Then Rome gets the ball. Caleb said he should have it.
Okay. So you wouldn't give it to
Caleb. Rome didn't say, hey, like, we have to cut it in half. He was told they have to cut it in half. And then the other one said, give it to him instead.
Okay. For people that were curious, Josh Allen was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. This is the 13th time that he has won that award.
Right now, everybody that was on, hey, Josh Allen's the worst last year, is going, oh man, I guess I got to shut up for a while. Because it is his show and his team's playing at their best at the moment.
Yes.
Against bad teams, but still at their best.
Is this the attitude you want? Maybe not for fantasy football owners, but like if you're just a fan of the Chiefs. Travis Kelce said, I'm worried about winning, not the catches and the yards. Should I assume as a Chiefs fan, you're like, hell yeah. As a fantasy owner who might have taken him high,
I hate it.
Is he on your team?
He is on my team.
Oh, no.
And I'm not saying that I did it for Adrian so that she could root for them and everything and her coach Andy that she's always talking about.
You did not do it for her.
I did not do it for her. I did it because I thought he would be awesome. That being said, I will be patient, and I think that when it counts, Mahomes will find him. Whenever they get into the big games and they need to make plays, Mahomes will be there. Or Kelce and Mahomes will be there. That being said, if they decide just to double team Kelce all season, then these other guys better go nuts.
Yeah.
You know, Rashee Rice and Worthy and Watson, all those guys better go crazy.
And by the way, since people were asking about Austin Eckler yesterday, I think he's gone back to Virginia to get treated for a concussion. So obviously you never like to hear that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what are the top three Cowboys on-field problems right now? 877-881-1053. Hit us up there or the Twitch or the YouTube. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.